and welcome to Those Forking Fangirls, where we talk all things nerdy book, TV, movie, pop culture fandoms, and how they integrate into our adult lives. I'm Christine.
And I'm Natasha.
And today we're having a bit of a T-Swift party because we are ranking her vault songs from our least favorite to favorite. There are 26 vault songs at the moment. Rep TV and Debut TV have not dropped at this time. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this in the future, that's why they're not involved. But I think 26 is more than enough to include in one episode. It would get really long if we had more than that to rank.
Also, I knew my least favorite and I knew my favorite. It was hard to kind of put middle. In the middle. They're all just like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But before that, as always, we've got Snap Crackle Pop Culture News. Natasha, what have you got first on the roundup today?
First look at season 4 of Bridgerton.
Exciting. Honestly,
I was so surprised that they released this on Valentine's Day because they just started recording a lot. That's what we do. They just started filming in December. So the casting process was all through the fall. But we got a lot of footage from the masquerade. Yeah. A lot of footage from Mama Bridgerton's masquerade ball. So
I guess that's one of the first things they filmed.
Yeah. I love all the costumes. Penn's wearing some pirate garb and her hair is blonde.
So cool.
She's in the wig.
The mask was cool though.
Yeah. But it's like, is the queen, is Charlotte and Penn, are they besties now? Are they in cahoots?
I don't know. Maybe because she knows she's whistled down. Wow, I completely forgot the end for a second. Oh my God. Yeah, maybe they gossip and chat amongst themselves now.
That was my favorite photo, I think, that they released. I really liked Mama Bridgerton's outfit. It was this purple. Just everything looks so good.
I have to relook at it because I remember Penn and the Queen, but I don't really remember seeing Mrs. Bridgerton.
Well, and I remember Cho Chang. Did you see her? Chang, the stepmom?
No, I have to look again. I only watched it once.
There's pictures, though, so it's
I have to look at the pictures.
But they did show Cho Chang, evil stepmom in the behind the scenes look.
Okay, because I only watched it once. I was just more aghast with the visuals, not the people and what they were doing, you know? I was oh, masks! This is going to be so fun! I love a masquerade!
I'm really excited. It's season 4 or book, I think it's book 3, but season 4 is a Cinderella retelling, and it's Benedict's book. Just to remind you guys, my 3 says Benedict looks so yum. You know, he's always looked yum. You know, there hasn't been much of a glow up this season.
But he's been a wishy-washy yum. You know what I mean? He hasn't solidified in the way that you do when you're the star of the season. All of a sudden your jaw gets more defined and you just look more put together when it's your season.
They said that we aren't going to be getting Bridgerton season 4 until 2026, but I'm wondering if they might drop it Christmas time, so we'll see.
I mean, Christmas is a great time to drop. That's when they drop Emily in
the
Paris.
First one. Well, they dropped the first season on Christmas.
Yeah. Was it Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that kind of blends together. Was it 2020?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that whole time is a mush.
Yeah, it was Christmas 2020. But I know, Christine, you said that there's a lot of people who are upset that Kate Sharma
wasn't showing up. I saw a bunch of Twitter threads upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a quick shot of Anthony. They haven't announced that she's not going to be in it. She's going to be in it. I know she is. I think she confirmed. But I think she was the only one who maybe wasn't shown.
Yeah, and everyone else looked like they were. At least for a quick second.
And they're still filming. So they started in December. This is going to go for another 4 months. They're only in month maybe 2 of filming. All right, Christine, what's up next?
All right, next. This was huge, kind of not huge, but kind of huge news. Hulu has dropped ACOTAR from their lineup. Now the rights are up for grabs again, or maybe she's already in talks with somebody else, honestly, you know, because it's a huge property.
So obviously the Hulu's had the rights to ACOTAR for probably about 5 years now, and they have to renew every year or every 2 years.
It depends what the contract's like. That's a lot true. Of them are short, a lot, especially if she's got a lot of leverage, it could just be a year.
So is it up to, it's up to both parties, right? Like if Sarah wants to, first of all, it's up to the studio if they want to renew, but if it comes to that time and Sarah does not want to renew, can she revoke those rights?
She can say no if the contract is up. But usually, you know, you want them to keep working on it and they will renew the contract and keep working on and renew the copyright of the contract. But yeah, the option is what it's called. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe Hulu's had it for a long time. Like that was the first person we ever heard about having it. And maybe their script isn't good enough for Sarah and she's not happy with it. Or maybe it's just like too expensive and it's
not being prioritized. Yeah.
So you never know. But I'm kind of happy that it's not with them anymore, because I feel like if she was happy with it, it would be with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's too big
to have this so drawn out, right? Yeah. We need someone on this title who wants to bring it to screen, mm-hmm. and wants to invest time and money.
The money that it'll take to make it as good as it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Anyways, we're hoping for good news in the next coming months about an ACOTAR option. So
yes.
Cross your fingers, pray.
Send good thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next, I don't know. I know you saw this. Taylor Lautner announced that he is signed on for a new Werewolf Hunter show for Amazon, and his caption was like, just when they think that I'm out, they pull me back in.
I'm sorry. I thought when I read the synopsis that this was like a joke.
I know. So did I. I'm like, wait, saw what? It on Instagram and I was like, he's kidding, right?
he's playing himself?
I'm so excited. Wait, he's actually playing himself tomorrow? I thought there was no details on who he was playing.
I saved it. Hold on. Let me pull it up.
He's playing himself as a werewolf hunter, but he can't be playing Taylor Lautner as a werewolf hunter.
No, hold on. One second. Where did it go? There it is. From Taylor Lautner himself. This is from Variety. The official logline for the series states, after wrapping the final Twilight film,
mm-hmm.
Taylor Lautner vanishes from the spotlight. Fans speculated, tabloids theorized, but the truth is wilder than fiction. Taylor wasn't just taking a mental health break. He was preparing for his real calling. Taylor Lautner, werewolf hunter, playing himself. Taylor is drawn into a secret society of werewolf trackers who need his unique expertise
as
he navigates his double life.
No, stop!
What the fuck?
No, stop!
Hollywood actor by day, supernatural warrior by night. Taylor must wrestle with the ultimate irony, fighting the very creatures that made him famous. Between saving the world, reviving his career, and falling in love, he faces the ultimate question. What happens when your biggest role becomes your greatest enemy?
This is hilarious. They better have amazing writers on this, or else it's going to be terrible. He's got to have great writers on it.
I saw that first line, like, after Twilight, and I was like, are we... What is...
What? Is this on a delay?
It's been like 10 years, guys. Come on.
It's been more than 10 years.
Well,
this is crazy. All right. Wow. I did not read the whole synopsis. I was too distracted by Taylor Lautner Werewolf Hunter show.
It's so ridiculous.
This is insanity.
No.
I
I cannot believe it. Wait, but it will be hilarious if it's done well. It'll be so funny.
Wait, Melissa says, wait, it's been 13 years. Is that a Taylor Swift reference?
Why would it be a Taylor Swift reference? Just because it's been 13 years since Twilight. It was 2012, so it has been 13 years. It's crazy. It's kind of giving that Nicolas Cage movie to me.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Oh, my. Well, is his wife involved? Like,
is she going to play the love interest? I don't think she's an actress. She's an artist.
Like, is this like 13 years later because he's aged now? Like, are we going to start literally right after Breaking Dawn?
No, they can't. I think it's going to be like he's taking a mental health break, but he wants to come back into the spotlight.
I want to write on this. Somebody hire me. We need to do week to week reviews of this TV show when it comes out.
We are so doing week to week reviews. Oh my God. This is crazy. Wait, Siobhan says it sounds like his wife will be in it because it mentions he falls in love in the show. Yeah, but don't you think someone will play his wife? You think his wife is... Yeah.
Because like it's himself,
it'll mirror
but
himself.
It's fiction. Yeah. Just like the Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah, and it's like Jury Duty with James Morrison, where he's playing himself, but he's playing a version of himself for the show. Mm-hmm. That's like more comedic. I bet he's gonna be more comedic on the show.
Yeah. It's a caricature, basically.
Yes, a caricature of himself. All right. Next.
How do we top that?
There's nothing that can top that, but there are new Twilight book covers out.
Oh, yeah.
An anniversary. What anniversary is it? 25?
25.
Oh, what do you mean? Can it possibly be 25?
It came out. No, it's 20 years. Sorry. Came out in 05.
It came out in 05. I was like, it's too long. That's too long. what do you think of them? So they're very flowery, and I saw they look very pretty, but they look nothing like Twilight looks like to me in my heart. So it does. It's a very mismatched, disjointed disconnect to the story when I look at it.
I like them. I feel, yes, they feel a little like disjointed. Mm-hmm. Not very much like it, but I'm kind of seeing it as, you know how they like redo Pride and Prejudice and all of those like classics. I feel like it took that direction. Like they wanted to make it different and
it's
more like
just so pink, and Twilight is so black and white with a red drop.
Well, not really. Like we've got the meadow, which is like
no.
Pink and
I just
purple.
Mean the aesthetic of the covers are so black and white with a red something.
Honestly, though, like the vibes of Twilight are like green and red, but that's
and
Christmas.
White and black.
No one wears white and black, though.
Well, no, but like black and white, it's like the metaphor for the way that vampires are viewed. There's good and there's bad.
But they're
there's
not
no gray.
Normal vampires. They're sparkly vampires.
They defy all assumptions. All right, we've gotten off topic. The Twilight covers are out. You can go look at them. What do you
want? The pink and green one. I want it.
Which one is pink and green?
The pink and green one.
You mean Twilight?
Yeah.
But there's a whole set.
I want the whole set.
You want the whole
set.
My
birthday's coming up. That's a birthday present.
Melissa says, I have a love-hate with this. We got a 10th anniversary edition, and that included Life and Death. And we got a 15th anniversary, and that was the ugly covers. That was the one that really kind of zoomed in, right?
I don't remember those.
Was that the one when they just like zoomed in on the cover and made the Twilight bigger? Yeah, I hate those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she says. And now the shelf aesthetic covers for the 20th. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I just don't really have an urge to get it because it doesn't match what
it's
I feel.
It's obviously not for everyone.
It's not
but
for everyone.
It's for me.
It's for you. I really like the ones from, like, I saw these in Italy when I was abroad. The ones that are white with the red edges.
Oh, I love those.
I love those. Is this not the same?
Okay, so I was just looking them up. So the green pink flowery one is just for Twilight. Like they only they don't have the whole set.
Okay.
And then they have this other set, the deluxe hardcover collection. They're stunning. They have like a tree with a red apple on it.
Oh. I and then thought they were the same.
The cliff for New Moon.
Wait.
And then the mountain for Eclipse.
Oh my gosh.
And then the house for Breaking Dawn, the Cullen house. And then on the pages, they're like sparkle black. And Midnight Sun's so pretty. It's like the
meadow. Flower.
And then on the backside, they have like a drawing of Edward and Bella. And it's stunning.
Wait, I really like these ones. These are the aesthetic I want.
Yeah. And you can get all five of them for $97 if you pre-order.
Oh, I thought you were going to say $19.99 if you order right now.
We'll leave the link down in the description.
It's really pretty. If I was going to get one, I'm torn. I think Eclipse is the prettiest.
You have to get them all.
Oh, you have to get them all?
It's a box set.
I can't buy one. Maybe they'll be at the store. With, like,
Melissa says it doesn't make sense why they didn't just include the short Second Life.
Oh, yeah.
Or I Life and Death. Why can't we have Life and Death as a book?
Life and Death should be in there.
Needs its own book.
It should be its own separate thing. Life and Death was so good. It's so underappreciated. Christy, okay, but is anyone else holding themselves back from getting the gorgeous new Hunger Games box set? Because why would I get it when a new book is just about to come out? What do you mean there's a new Hunger Games box set too? Oh my God. In other news, Selena Gomez just dropped that she has a new album coming out March 21st called I Said I Love You First with her fiance, Benny Bianco, which is crazy. So she was just lying every time. She was like, I don't know if I have it in me to do more music.
She's like, I think I have one album in me.
Yeah.
Okay, then Mary's going to be marrying a music producer.
Well, she's like, I tricked you. All right. And last on our list here, should we announce that we're going to RomanceCon this year?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Last on the list here, we're going to RomanceCon again this year in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in September. And hopefully we'll see you there. We haven't like officially.
And hopefully I'll be a licensed cosmetologist at that point.
Fuck yeah. I mean, come on. By September, you will be.
Yeah. It takes a while to like get the test, like kind of like behind the wheel type of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, fingers crossed.
Yes. But we'll be in Milwaukee for RomanceCon. We had so much fun last year. That live podcast was probably like a highlight of our year. I
mean, yes, it was.
Our moment.
It was in our, highlights
podcast. And so. Christine will have a booth table again.
Yeah. My new book will be a couple months out from dropping, so I don't know where we'll be with that.
With ARCs, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe. Well, I'll have to talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. But it's very exciting. And if you haven't heard, I am an author. I write books. There are three out in the wild right now. And the first two, again, with Better and Better Together, are on Kindle Unlimited. So you can read them for free with Kindle Unlimited. And my third one is called Attached at the Hip. It came out last year. It is a rom-com about a 23-year-old who is kind of codependent with the boy she's been dating since she was in middle school. And she's not really in love with him anymore. But, you know, she's just been with him for so long. They're like, it's weird to break it off, almost, that sort of a thing, because they were best friends first. Mm-hmm. But she ends up applying for Survivor and breaking up with him because she was trying to prove that she's not codependent when she's been called codependent. And she has like an intervention with herself, like, okay, I have to break up with him and fuck it, I'm going on Survivor and I'm not going with anyone else, I'm going by myself because I'm not codependent. And little does she know that they said she was casted for Survivor. It's actually a Survivor spinoff show with a romantic twist. And what happens is you are attached by 8 feet of rope to another person on the island, and you have to live for 3 days with them before you compete with them in a challenge. And then someone gets voted out and you get reshuffled. So you have to have a new partner for 3 days. And her partner for the first 3 days is the guy she had a crush on all through high school. She hasn't seen him in 4 years. She's single. She's awkward. She's ready to mingle.
Aww.
Yeah. So that's Attached to the Hip. It's out now. A link is in the show notes if you haven't read it yet. If you have read any of my books and you enjoyed them, super, super duper helpful to me and my career if you leave a review on whatever platform you devoured it on. So if
or
it was,
recommend it to a real life person.
Yes,
that's your homework this week. If you liked Christine's book, recommend it to a real life person.
So helpful. Word of mouth, very, very helpful. And internet word of mouth, which is reviews. Leaving a review is so helpful. Christy says, I'm going to recommend it to my school library. Oh, thank you so much. Stuff Yay. Like that is just amazing. Thank you. It goes a long way. And I really, really appreciate if you've left a review, if you've recommended it to your friends, like that means the world to me. I really want to keep doing this author thing. I love it. And you guys who are telling people about my books really make a difference. So thank you. So are we going to do what right now and our Audi section or no? Just Audi.
I mean, I kind of want to, let's just do both.
Okay. Should we do Audi first?
Yeah.
Okay. So Severance is excellent and you don't have to have watched Severance for this segment that we're going to do. But I'm going to give you what Severance is about so you understand. So Severance is a procedure that people can opt to get to work at this company, Lumen. And what it does is separate your work self from your home self. So every time you go in, like it switches your brain to your work self. And this work self is like a completely separate person. They don't know anything. They don't remember anything about your life. They remember how to like be a human being. But like beyond that, they don't know their family. They don't know who they are outside. They're their own person who lives at work. And they basically just appear at work every day and don't get to exit ever. So in Severance, the people who we meet, we don't know anything about their outside personalities at first, and they don't. But as a treat, sometimes the wellness director will tell them things like random facts about their outies. And their outies are like their normal selves outside of work. And it's become a trend to do like this thing as like us to learn about our outies. And like it's been kind of a trend on like the socials where people are learning about their outies. So we are going to do that today.
And like how this scene goes in the show is that like you sit in this really calming room and this woman just speaks really monotone and she's calm. Like, you can't.
Oh, wait, don't say. I feel like it kind of, like, let's just do it. You'll see. We're going to do it as it goes on the show. Okay. So I will pretend to be the wellness director for Natasha, and then she will be my wellness director to tell us about our outies. Are you ready? Should I do yours first?
Yeah. Okay. Are you going to do all 10 or?
I'll just go. I don't think it's going to take very long.
Okay.
Natasha. Are you ready to learn about your outie?
Yes.
All right. Natasha, your outie washes her hair every day. Please refrain from enjoying each fact too much. Please enjoy them all equally. Natasha, your outie's favorite movie is Spy Kids. Your outie breeds rabbits.
Oh.
Your outie posts regularly on Facebook.
Oh, God.
Natasha, your outie is an empath.
Oh.
Your outie's favorite snack is yogurt.
Oh.
Your outie doesn't believe in deodorant.
I wonder why I'm so stinky.
Your outie's friends call her Natty P.
Please, no one fucking call me that.
Your outie collects flip-flops. Your outie gifts personal favor coupons for Christmas. Your outie's greeting of choice is yo. Mm-hmm. Your outie calls pizza za.
That's what you call it.
I never called it Yaza in my life. What are you talking about? Who does that?
I don't know. Where have I heard this before?
The youth do it. I don't know. Okay. I'll just do like two more. Natasha, your Audi makes gum from scratch.
Allah. Smith.
Your Audi says you got a haircut without using a modifier.
What? I don't understand that.
It means when you go up to someone, you're like, you got a haircut, and then nothing else. Your Audi still calls Chapel Roan Chapelle.
No! Oh my God.
Are you ready, Christine? I think so. Please enjoy all of these equally. Christine, your Audi is an amateur rock tumbler hobbyist and spends her weekends collecting stones from the river 3 hours away. Oh. Your Audi likes to call the bathroom the little girl's room. Your Audi only likes to wear cow print clothes on nights out because it makes her feel yeehaw.
Ew.
Your Audi is the 10,345th best sharpshooter on Call of Duty. Christine, your Audi has a dedicated Instagram account for her collection of accidentally heart-shaped rocks.
Wow.
That's sad.
Your Audi is kind to all living things and catches spiders in her bare hands when they inhabit her home.
Ew, this is weird. Mine are not simple.
Your Audi is eccentric and plastic free. Your Audi refuses to drink water unless it's from her souvenir cup she got at a Dodger game in 2012. Christine, your Audi exclusively listens to medieval lute music while working out because it makes her feel like a warrior.
What is that?
Your Audi insists on calling guacamole avocado pudding and gets offended when people correct her.
I feel like I'm not learning anything about her.
Christine, your Audi refuses to use microwaves because she thinks they zap the soul out of the food.
Wow. Okay, this one's really long. These aren't hitting like I thought they would.
Christine, for your last one, please sit tight. Your Audi still signs guest books at weddings like she's a 19th century aristocrat, leaving an important mark on history. For her sister's wedding, she wrote this. Dearest Olivia and Brian, what a most resplendent union I have borne witness to on this fine eve. May your days be ever prosperous, your love as enduring as the ancient oaks. I shall think fondly upon this gathering as I sip from my evening tea by candlelight. With highest regard and warmest felicitations, Lady Christine of Bellamy Estate.
This is so in-depth. I know, yours were like so quick. I was like, my made mine long.
Well, I was doing mine like she does on the show. They're so short. Bellamy Estate. That was like an essay on every question. She's very outdoorsy and annoying.
I was like, I really had this image of you, just like being one with nature. It's very opposite.
You're just, you're out as a rabbit breeder.
Shop, don't adopt. No, I don't believe that.
All right. What right now? Natasha, we both read Deep End this week.
I... actually did not finish it. I've got maybe 15 pages left.
Oh, what? You left 15 pages unread?
I told you I was getting frustrated and I didn't.
Wait, I thought you had finished right after.
No, I didn't finish it. I thought
you had finished it last night when I talked to you.
No, I was watching Love is Blind.
Oh, for some reason I thought that like in that time you also finished Deep End because you were so close to the end.
I was so tired. Yeah, anyways, I didn't finish it last night because I took a gummy and I forgot I took a weed gummy. And I was so tired. And I was like, why am I so tired? And then I sat there and I stretched for like 30 minutes with my eyes closed while listening to Love is Blind. It was a time.
Nice. Yeah, I loved this book. I had so much fun with it. I loved reading for fun. I took the last 2 weeks in between my drafts off. I go back in tomorrow. And I've just been trying my best to not push myself to do like a million things. And one of the gifts of doing that is being able to just read for fun. Yeah. And I have never read Ellie Hazelwood, so I was excited to dive in. Pun intended. And it's a book about an Olympic diver. Well, she's not an Olympic diver. She's a college Division I diver. She's very good. She's like trying to get into the Olympics.
The track is to the Olympics.
The track is to the Olympics. And she had a huge accident last year. And she had to have lots of surgery and do a whole recovery year. And now she's back. And she's facing a bit of a mental block on the dive that caused her injury. Mm-hmm. And so she's trying to get back into, you know, Olympic status shape with her dives. And there's this guy who's Swedish and his name is, oh my God, I just lost his name, Lucas. And he is, what?
Blomqvist.
And he is an amazing swimmer. He is an Olympic swimmer and he's in his senior year. And he's also going to med school and she's pre-med. And they end up connecting, but like he's recently broken up with a girl that's on her diving team that she's friends with. So it is a weird situation. And he's like into BDSM. And we find out really quickly that she's also into BDSM. So there's this like curiosity, like, oh, can we BDSM together? From the very beginning. And it's just done really well.
I just love Ellie Hazelwood. I think she knows her character so well and she knows like when to bring them together, like when they should be intimate and all that. And I feel like she really writes to her characters so well. And this is another great example of that. I really love Bride and I really loved The Love Hypothesis. I really like this one because it explored different themes and mm-hmm. Like the power dynamic of...
I've never read anything exploring BDSM. I know that 50 Shades of Grey has BDSM, but do they like explore it in the same way that we see her like kind of talking about it?
This was like really soft core BDSM because it's more of like the dom submissive, but like none of the toys and stuff that you think that would come with it. But I really like the way that they explored this because it was like two mm-hmm. people who like understood like what their needs were exactly. While Fitch is Great is like it's more representative of like more of like a toxic relationship because this mm-hmm. guy is like really in charge, did not educate her Anastasia at all in that, and she didn't really know what she's getting into, and you know, didn't understand that like he didn't want anything to do with love and all that. So like,
yeah, this is different. This is like they're both very much in the know of what they're getting into and what they want from it, mm-hmm. and they're both really nice people,
yeah.
and they fall in love. Obviously, it's a rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah, Christy said 50 Shades is not well received in the BDSM community based on my personal exposure and activity within the community. Yeah, it's not like you see the like the Red Room and stuff and all that you would see with like BDSM and the toys and the harnesses and stuff like that in 50 Shades. None of that was in mm-hmm. Deep End.
But yeah, really enjoyed it, and now I'm reading Bride. So
Yes!
I'm excited.
Going
to be in the know finally about these books. What about you?
Do you remember last year when I had to explain
The Knot? Yeah, of course. How could we forget? I mean, like, I've never heard of that in my life. I've never heard anyone say it. Never heard it in passing.
Allie Hazelwood does like to bring more of like the kinky taboo stuff in traditional publishing. Mm-hmm. So, and she does it in like a light manner. So I am always like, yes, it's like a good gateway.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, just to like get people to also understand the kinks and the, because a lot of times people who don't know about it will just be like, ew. But
yeah,
this really like brings people in and explains what's going on in the head, in their heads, and why they like what they like and all that stuff. And it's really interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Did you read anything else, or was it just Deep End this week?
Just Deep End this. Well, wait, no. I have been listening to the fourth book in the Flesh and the Flame. The prequel series to From Blood and Ash, and mm-hmm. the one that's like, it's audiobook is 34 hours long. I'm not joking. It's so long, and I think I'm 15 chapters in. Most everything I've read is pure fluff, and then there was like two fucking 45 minute chapters of them like explaining and going through what their plans were.
Oh, wow.
I was so bored. Mm. But then I got a nice little sex scene. And it was pretty hot after that.
Good.
She did.
Glad you got something finally.
She did something. Jennifer L. Armentrout did something with Nyctos' shadows that I was hoping Zayden would do.
Oh, God. All right. I've been listening to Iron Flame. I've been rereading it, and it's been, it was so much fun till we got to the part where they're like training with the flyers again. And I'm just like, come on, let's go. But anyway, I'm enjoying my reread of those books, 'cause there's so much that I like didn't catch the first time around, especially in Iron Flame. Mm-hmm. What have you been watching this week?
Not much, just Severance. And then we started Love is Blind.
Yeah! I watched the first six episodes. They're cute. A lot of love triangles that we had to watch come to fruition. And mm-hmm. there's one couple that I think is adorable, and I'm just excited to see the next chunk of episodes that'll drop on Wednesday.
The Tarzan guy?
Joey?
I don't know their names.
I know their names because I watched six episodes back to back. Joey and Monica are friends' names too, so it's easy to remember them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I like him.
All right.
Movies.
Wait. I have to talk about Yellow Jackets for a second. I rewatched all season two of Yellow Jackets. So good. And I watched the first two episodes of Yellow Jackets dropped on Friday on February 14th, Valentine's Day. And it was such a nice Valentine's Day treat to be able to watch two episodes back to back and have all our characters back. And you know what I learned from like being on TikTok, and now they know I watch Yellow Jackets somehow, because I don't know, they heard me watching. The actress who plays Shauna has like bright ass blue eyes, and she wears brown contacts to match older Shauna.
Who's Shauna?
Who's Shauna? The lead. Like, she takes care of the food. She was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mom of Callie.
Mm-hmm.
So young Shauna has bright ass fucking blue eyes. Wow. And it is like startling to see when she doesn't have the contacts on. All right. Anyway, Yellow Jackets is back. Go watch on Paramount Plus.
Back, baby.
It's showtime.
Movies. I went and saw Captain America, Brave New World.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it. I don't understand. All these fucking film bros came at this movie like immediately as they watch it and just like shit all over it. Mm-hmm. I have my critiques with it, but I think overall a very entertaining, fun movie. I did a little bit miss a back and forth with he has a sidekick character, but like I needed someone maybe with a bigger name. I don't know. I liked Harrison Ford. I liked the Red Hulk. All that at the very end of the movie was like super exciting and crazy. I took Chloe to a screening and she sobbed violently at the end. there was a couple big emotional storylines there, mm-hmm. About Isaiah Bradley. He was in The Falcon and Winter Soldier and he's doing really good in the movie, but then something happens and but I really liked it, so go watch it. I think it was fun.
I started the new Bridget Jones. It's out on Peacock, which was a surprise when I opened Peacock. I just wasn't in the mood to watch something that was making me emotional like it was in the beginning. So I watched 20 minutes of it. I'm excited to like watch it now though, because I was just getting to the part where she was like gonna go date again, and I'm sure it's gonna get fun. I think that is it for what right now, and we're gonna roll on into our main discussion. But before we do that, I am gonna take a second because we want to thank all of you out there for listening and being a part of the Those Fucking Fun Girls community. We appreciate you. And if you're not already, we'd love it if you followed the show for free in your favorite podcast listening app, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or like a niche one like Pocket Casts. It's easy to just click that follow button and then you'll never miss an episode. And if you like to watch the visual show, we are on YouTube, youtube.com/@thoseforkingfangirls, and you can subscribe there for free and never miss an episode of the visual show. And if you don't know, this is a viewer-supported show. Unlike like a lot of other shows who have like tons of sponsorships and ads, this is made possible by viewers and listeners like you. And we appreciate you so much. And those viewers and listeners support us through our Patreon, patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. And if you'd like to become a patron, we greatly appreciate your support. And you get lots of fun perks. The first being at the $5 level, Team Jacob, you get the show completely ad-free. You get to come to our lives, our discussions, and you get to listen to Fangirl Tea Time, our half an hour extra show at the end of every single show. And there are 108 episodes of Fangirl Tea Time waiting when you become a patron. So that's a lot of content to go through.
So much content.
So much content. And you can test it out with a free trial if you want to test it out before you commit. Then you get a 7-day free trial. And then if you want to commit month to month, you can. Or if you commit annually, you get a 16% discount, which is also very cool. And there's two other levels, Team Edward and Team Pulls Bananas, with other perks. And you can check all those out in our show notes at patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls. Mm-hmm. All right. If you're a patron, we're going to roll right into the main discussion. If not, we will be right back after these messages. All right. We are back. And it is time. It's time to rank all of Taylor Swift's vault songs from 26 all the way up to number one. Okay. But before that, we've got some like generalizations to just like kind of walk through. And the first is like, what album do you think had the best bonus songs overall?
1989.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we didn't, it's kind of unfair to compare because there's less songs than on Red.
Wait, but why is it unfair?
Because like, I think there's just as many good songs on Red Vault than there are on in total in 1989. But Red has lots of songs.
That's your opinion.
I'm just saying, I think it's an unfair comparison tit for tat, because she had put like the four best songs ever on 1989 Vault. Yeah. And then on Red, she has four really great songs, but there's like how many? Like eight or something? There's a lot.
So many. Yeah.
Yeah, of Red. So, least favorite album of bonus songs?
Well, for me, it's Speak Now.
Oh, wow. For me, yeah, I mean, definitely Fearless.
I'm just looking how high up you have those songs, and I could care less about those songs.
I love those songs.
I don't like them. I don't know why.
I don't know why I don't like so many of the Fearless ones. I'm just like, nah. But 1989 is perfection. Mm-hmm.
I really want to know what, like, Reputation's going to sound like.
I know. I'm so excited for Reputation. And I'm excited for debut because I know some of the songs and I want them, like, on Spotify.
Yeah. I have them.
Like, I know. I had them downloaded from MySpace.
On my iPod back in the day.
Yes. So let's start at the very bottom. Your least favorite Taylor Swift vault song. I cannot believe yours. I can't believe it.
I told you, get ready. I don't like most of Speak Now.
I cannot believe it. That it just babbles my mind.
I, you know, and honestly, like, I don't listen to these because I skip them a lot of the time.
Like, but, go ahead.
Okay. Well, my least favorite is Foolish One.
Oh, it has such a endearing story in Foolish One.
I can't listen to it. It doesn't make sense to me. The music doesn't. The lyrics with the music. I don't like it.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. My...
Christine can't take any hate.
I just, like, can't believe it.
I have yours higher up.
I know, but not as high as I have yours.
Where is yours? Oh my God, Jesus. Okay.
Okay, my number 26 is Don't You. I
Don't You.
Just these songs, I feel like the story, the lyrics are kind of like simpler and they're also don't stick in my head at all. Like they just fall right out. I listened to these again yesterday and I already forget them.
A lot of those, I'm like, wait, I had to listen to them multiple times to, like, kind of try to remember.
Yeah, I started, like, writing down lyrics for some of the Fearless ones just so I'd remember which one it was because it keeps slipping right out of my brain. But, yeah, like, when I see the word don't you, I'm like, don't you forget about me. And I can't remember what her song sounds like at all, even though I did listen to it, I think, twice yesterday trying to really get it.
Don't you. Da, 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 da. I like this one. This one's higher up on my list.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's 25 on your list?
Timeless.
Timeless is so beautiful. The story is so beautiful. I can't believe it. Mine is Bye Bye Baby. And
yeah, I agree.
This song is just forgettable. So forgettable. I just can't remember it at all. Oh. Okay, what's 24?
I think it's interesting.
I can't believe this. I love this song.
Okay, so number 24 for me is Message in a Bottle.
I can't, this hurts me physically. I love this song so much. It makes me so happy.
It's a fun listen to, but I just never understood why it was like the number one. Like it was always playing on the radio.
It was so fun. And I thought it.
I mean, to
and
me.
And Harry.
To me, it feels like, I don't know. I don't know if this is the right word to say. It just feels like kind of goofy.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Like goofy and childish in a sense
Well, it is. It's that childish, like, crush feeling when you first meet someone.
But not even, like, the lyrics, like, the way that the song sounds as well. And that's just not something that I love, I guess.
Mm-mm. Okay. My number 24 is We Were Happy from Fearless. Like, I listened to it again, and I was...
Everyone does not agree with me. I'm so sorry.
I know. I'm like, I'm so confused by these bottom three. Okay, Austin agrees with you. But I feel like Message in a Bottle, like, from the times where I, like, first meet someone, and I'm, like, so excited about the potential of like, something between us. And my 24 is We Were Happy. I think this song is pretty boring, too. It's also from Fearless. I like some of the lyrics. There was a part there where she was like, we snuck into the circus. You threw your arms around my neck back when I deserved it. And we were happy. And like, I was trying to figure out who she was talking about. I was like, is this about Lucas Till? Because she's like, laughed in the dark, talking about your daddy's farm we were going to buy someday. like
we were like, gonna buy
someday. And I'm like, whose dad had a farm? At first I was like, does Taylor Lautner's dad have a farm? Can I pin this on him? Because it's clearly someone she broke up with. But I at that same time only matches up with like who we know, like who we know she was dating at the time, with like Lucas Till she had like a really quick thing with. So maybe him. I have no idea. But yeah, it just kind of flops through me, and then that song disappears.
I like We Were Happy. It's fun one to sing to, and for me. And I like the harmonies when it's like, and we were happy. Like, I love that sound. That's like, feels good in my brain.
Mm-hmm. Ashley says it could be about high school hometown guy. It could be. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with the Christmas tree form.
All right. You're 23.
My 23 is Bye Bye Baby. We already talked about this.
Yes. Another one. We didn't. Okay. My 23 is You All Over Me. This is the I Lived, I Learned, and I Got Burned.
It's just mid.
Yeah. What's your number 22?
Electric Touch.
God. Oh my God. I can't believe there are fearless ones so much higher than all of these.
I'm sorry, guys, that I have a vendetta against the Speak Now bonus tracks. I didn't like them when I first listened to them, and like, I still don't love them. Is this Fallout Guy?
It's who did the Fallout this Boy was Fallout on it with her.
Boy. Yeah, it's just not my vibe.
What 22? My number 22 is That's When with Keith Urban. It's another one from Fearless, and just not memorable at all for me. All of those except for one was not memorable for me.
I have that one higher up on my list.
I know. Okay, 21. I can't believe you don't like this song either. It's so catchy.
Oh, number 21 is Babe. I don't like this. Oh, the promises.
I like it.
It gives me the ick. I hate that. I hate the promises part.
I like this song a lot. It really has grown on me. I thought it was like okay at first, and now I'm like, babe, how did you do this? Babe. 21 for me is Run, the Ed Sheeran one. That one kind of slips away from me.
Wait, did you do 22?
Yeah, that's when was. You just did 21, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my 21 is Run. That one just doesn't stick out to me. It kind of fades away really fast. So what's your 20? Oh, my God.
Castle's crumbling. I don't get this song.
I feel this
I don't like the tempo of it. I don't like the backgrounds of it. I just wish that she utilized Haley in a different way. I don't think this song really. I think they could have done something better with the two of them, just not this song.
Oh my God, I love this song, and I'll talk about it when I get up to it. All right. My 20 is The Very First Night, which I think is a really cute song, but this is actually the one that gives me more like youth vibes that you were talking about with the music, whereas Message in a Bottle feels more like a pop song to me. This one kind of is and cute, The Very First Night on Red.
This is the one I it's right here around that time, like in my list too.
So that's my number 20. You want to do 19?
19 is We Were Happy.
Okay.
About that, right?
Yep, we did. Okay, my number 19 is I Bet You Think About Me. And
whoa!
Yeah, while I don't love this song, it's very country feeling and slower, and I enjoy it, but I don't love it. It got bumped up because I enjoyed the music video a lot, and it kind of made me view the song a little differently, but I still don't love listening to it. Like, I find myself skipping it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's not as catchy and memorable lyrically for me.
I like singing in a little twang, so I do have fun with the song sometimes.
18.
Whoa. The Very First Night. Christine just talked about it. It's like another like poppy princess song. Not my fave. It sounds very close to Forever Winter, which is my number 17.
but they're all like these like fun upbeat songs that are like
Forever Winter is not fun and upbeat.
It's not?
No, it's about depression.
Well, like how it sounds, like the songs.
I don't think it's fun and upbeat though. I think it's like reflective, that one.
How does it go again? See, I don't remember how these go because they're kind of forgettable for me.
Well, now I'm having a hard time bringing it up because I'm thinking about, I bet you think about me. Here, I'll grab it. Forever Winter.
See, like, the very first night is has more of like a, it's... I wish that I... It's just like happier feeling, and the other one's more like somber.
Oh. My 18 is Better Man, which I know that originally she was thinking like either put Better Man on the original Red or All Too Well, and I'm so happy she chose All Too Well because holy shit, it's so much better.
Yeah,
I mean, Better Man's not bad, but it's nowhere near as good.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And my number 17 is Electric Touch, which I enjoy, but it is my least favorite of the Speak Now Vault tracks. I can see these emotions where she's like, everything, all my relationships fall apart, and I've heard things about you, and I don't think, like, hopefully this meeting goes well, and it's wonderful, but it seems like history, luck is against me in terms of relationships. 16, we're at. What is your number 16, Natasha?
It's Don't You. I have it higher on my list because I do like it better musically. And it makes me emotional.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I just haven't listened to it enough times.
I mean, say that for the Speak Now track since everyone seems to be mad at me.
Because they're wonderful. My number 16 is I Can See You Up Against the Wall With Me. The music video for this is so fun and so iconic with Taylor Lautner and Joey King. So it made me like it even more. But when I first heard this, I was like, wow, this is a sexy song for Speak Now. I see why she wasn't allowed to put it on. And I was just listening to it right before the show. And there's this part. Let me just pull it up. That really has a musical little section that feels like it would go right into You Belong With Me. Because I almost started singing it, you know, and your brain just like clicks mm-hmm. in and you can like mesh the songs together.
Mm-hmm.
Right here. Where she's like, I could see you being my addiction. I can see you be my addiction. Then I'm on the bleachers dreaming about the day when you wake up and find what you're looking for has been here the whole time. Like it goes right in with it. I'm like, is this like a almost, I don't know, like moving on from You Belong With Me and she sees someone new. I can see you.
You belong with me. I can see you now. Maybe.
Like, yeah, because obviously I don't think that guy worked out.
I have You All Over Me number 15. I liked a little bit more than Christine. I have I Can See You Now at number 14.
Okay.
Christine had it lower.
I have mine at 16. I Can See You. Yeah.
I like this one. I do think it's a little repetitive. Like, I wish there was a little bit more...
I Can See You.
Verses instead of, like... What?
Are you talking about I Can See You right now?
I Can See You Now.
Okay.
Yeah. I like it, though, because I like imagining Taylor.
Taylor Lautner. I know. I love that this is a Taylor Lautner song. Mm-hmm. all right. So you just did 15 and 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my 15 is Timeless. This song is so beautiful. It's about like a relationship where she in the past, like if her relationship was taking place in the past and like the way they would show each other that they love each other and like going to, it's been so long since I listened to it, but it's like going to...
Wait, which one is this?
Timeless.
Oh.
Like she says, our relationship is timeless and like she can like there's pictures of them, I think, in a box at like a garage sale, like old timey pictures with like the date on it, and they've been together for years and their love is timeless. I have to listen to the lyrics again, but that's like the visual I have in my head from the story. It's so beautiful and so sweet. And I just, every time I sit there and like actually listen to the story, I almost get teary because it's so sweet. Yeah, that's my 15. Oh, 14. What was your 14? I can see you. Okay. My number 14 is Slut. And I like Slut, but it is my least favorite of the 1989s because it's just like flamingo pink. Like maybe when they call me a slut, it'll be worth it. I can't pull up. Every time I listen to a different song right before we try to do another one, I can't pull up the tune. But like Slut.
Here it is. It's like flamingo pink.
Oh yeah, if they call me a slut, it might just be worth it for once. Like, I really wanted this to be like slut, like
yeah,
we talked about that. Rock song.
Yes, I wanted like the Veronicas. Like that's the way I wanted it with this.
Yes, and like. It's because of the exclamation point that really misled us because we got the track list and it was called Slut! Exclamation point. We were like, Slut!
It should have been Slut, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because now it's like, if you call me a slut, dot, dot, dot. It really should be a dot, dot, dot. So yeah, that's my 14. What's your 13?
Metal is as romantic. I can't believe Natasha doesn't like Timeless.
I know.
It's not about the lyrics in this because I don't like it musically. So if I don't like it musically, then it's hard for me to like go in and like take time to like listen to it.
So yeah.
I will go back and listen.
Yeah.
Now that it's better explained to me.
Yeah. We definitely hear, she hears music first and I hear lyrics first.
Yes.
And that's how we're both like tracking the music here.
And I am a trained singer, so I like to sing things in a certain way when I'm looking for a song that I like.
And I'm a writer, so I like words and stories. But I also like music. So I think it's the more I listen to it, the more I'll hear the music. The more you listen to it, the more you hear the words. So
yeah,
our tops are the ones that we've both listened to, I think.
I have 13 for Better Man because I do like this one, and so it's a little bit higher. But yeah, it's my third favorite on the Red album.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number 13 is Suburban Legends. Which
I love this song.
I really like this song. We're getting to the point where like I like all these songs a lot.
Yeah.
We're past the ones where I'm meh. Once we got to I Could See You, all of these I really like. So even Slut, like I will listen to that now and be just, I'm disappointed from what I thought Slut would be. But Suburban Legends, like so much fun. I think it's just the least I listened to out of the 1989. Okay, 12.
That's all, I mean, I agree with that too.
Yeah.
12, I have... That's one with Keith Urban because I felt bad about not having more of Fearless on the top of my list. Why? I don't know. I do like this song though.
Yeah.
Can I pull it out of my ass right now and sing it? No.
That's when your heart. Da, 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 and that's not it at all. This is why all of. All right.
I love it. It's pretty.
It's fine. But yeah, I could see why. I could see how, like, listening to it more, I would like it more.
Mm-hmm. I like how full the song sounds. See, and this goes back to how Christine loves lyrics and I love the music part of the songs.
12 for me is Nothing New. And I love this song.
What? this is so low on your list.
I mean, like I said, I like all of these up going up.
Oh, I just don't listen to it as much. Like, I don't crave listening to nothing new.
I do. I literally will. I don't ask Siri to play a lot of songs, but this one I ask her.
See, to. You're nothing new. That's My Castle's Crumbling. Like, I will crave that song. That song, like, I feel it in my bones.
Yeah. So that it's 12 for me, and I love the song. I just don't want to, like, go. I don't crave to turn it on.
11. I bet you think about me.
Nice.
Yeah.
I bet you think about me.
That's how I sing it. With the twang. It's fun.
It is fun. I just, like, again, I don't crave it.
Yeah, I'll skip this one here and there, but it's when I feel like it, I feel like it.
Yeah. Oh, I have 11. Okay, my 11's Forever Winter. I really like the story on this one, and I like how it fits into my, like, brain arc of the relationship with Harry Styles. And
wait, which one?
Forever Winter.
Forever Winter. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so high. I listened to it a bunch when I was, like, putting together my timeline of Harry Styles songs. So we're up to our top 10 vault songs by Taylor Swift.
Okay, number 10, I have Slut, because even though it's my least favorite on that one, I still love it a lot.
My number 10 is Babe, Why'd You Have to Do This, Babe? And I love how this connects to Folklore, when she's like, don't call me babe. I mean, don't call me kid. Don't call me baby. And, like, the way that babe is used in the Folklore album is to, like, reference when she's being cheated on. So it connects to this song in my head really nicely. And I like the overture of her lyrics and how it threads through like that.
I still don't like those promises.
And I like that part. I like this song is a slow burn for me. When I heard it by Sugarland, I was like, oh, this is fine. And then when I heard it on this album, I was like, oh, this is more than fun. And then the more I listened to it, I started to be like, babe! Like, when it's on, I'm just like, get really into it. But it took a while.
Oh, Siobhan says, I would love to hear what songs you think should have stayed in the vault, too.
Oh, well.
Like, that were on the original album, but you think should have been.
Oh, should be taken off. Oh, interesting. To trade?
Oh, are we going to trade these?
Maybe we could do tradesies for, like, our top five.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Number nine.
Yeah.
I have Run with, why am I blanking?
With Ed Sheeran.
With Ed Sheeran. I really like the harmonies in this. I love, like, I love the Ed Sheeran song on Red as well.
Mm-hmm. I like the one on Red better than this one. I'm glad she didn't put this
yeah.
on.
Yeah. I do too. But
Change.
I like them.
Everything
together.
Has changed.
Oh, yeah. I love the harmonies. I like choosing which harmony I wanted to sing to. So
see,
that's why I like that song.
Yeah, there's not much story going on in my head there other than mm-hmm. like the one verse in the beginning. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. My number 9 is your number 8. When Emma Falls in Love.
Hey.
When Emma Falls in Love. Na 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 na. Haven't listened to it enough to know the lyrics.
But this is my favorite on the Speak Now vault tracks. So,
yeah.
I like this one.
I like this one, too. I think it's really cute and really relatable. Mm-hmm. The whole story, like, it's when Emma falls in love, like, she'll do everything to try to make it work before letting it go. And mm-hmm. when Emma falls in love, she's, like, all cute.
And I like that it's a song, hopefully, that it's maybe about a friend and not her. I don't know.
I'm sure she relates to mm-hmm. whatever Emma's going through, but it feels like it's about a friend.
Yeah, and I mm-hmm. like that, because we don't have a ton of friendship songs that Taylor likes to write.
Yeah, 15.
Well, the one.
Oh, no, there's lots of other ones.
Yeah. There's like a handful, so I like this one, because mm-hmm. it's about friendship.
Yeah.
Or like yeah. perceiving someone else's life.
All right, my number eight is Mr. Perfectly Fine. This is my favorite and only Fearless song that I go, Fearless Vault song that I go back to, yeah, and listen same. To. I love yelling this song. I love a Joe Jonas Burn song. Like,
me too.
This song really gives Fearless. And I think that this actually maybe should have been on the album. Let me see what I would have traded. Because this one's so fun. This is a perfect album, though. So maybe Untouchable I would trade out for Mr. Perfectly Fine. Do you know Untouchable?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, are we doing top five?
Wait. Yeah, sorry. I just really loved this one, so I really thought it should be on there. It's just like, Untouchable is like a slow song. Dun, dun. I could see how it doesn't really fit into the narrative because there's no like really angry songs on this, and Mr. Perfectly Fine is pretty angry, even though it doesn't sound as angry as it is.
It's just, it's so fun. I would maybe trade it for Jump Then Fall because it kind of has like.
But I love that song.
Jump Then Fall.
Oh, but Jump Then Fall's so cute. I love it so much. It makes me so happy. Alpha and Alpha, I'll catch you. Oh, that part is so good. and that's a Taylor Lautner song, and I would never take any of his songs away.
Wait, that's a Taylor Lautner song?
Jump Then Fall?
Ooh.
In my opinion, it totally is.
Oh, my number eight was when Emma Falls in Love.
Mm-hmm.
My number seven is Suburban Legends.
Nice.
This song really grew on me. I remember when we first talked about the podcast, I was like, I hate that she says gymnasium.
Oh, yeah.
And now I scream that part.
All right. My number seven is Foolish One. I love this song. I relate to the idea in it so much that, like, she knows that she shouldn't trust this relationship, but she just keeps waiting for him to say loving things about her and confirm that, like, they're in love when she knows in her heart that he's never gonna do it. Like, he's never gonna send that text. He's not gonna return the call. She's just being foolish and being like a hopeless romantic. And I feel like so many of us can relate to that sentiment so hard. Mm. Yeah, I feel like this really belongs on the Attached at the Hip soundtrack. But I also I feel like Attached at the Hip is Speak Now, and I feel like Foolish One is also really relevant to parts of the story.
Hmm. See, like, I wish I liked these more if they were, to me, like, they don't feel like full songs. Like, they're really letting, like, the lyrics speak. I don't know. I need to like sit there and listen to it
a couple more times. Yeah,
it's kind of hard when things don't feel like they go along well together. Like when lyrics kind of don't feel like they go smoothly, and that's kind of how I feel about some of like Timeless and Foolish One.
I just don't feel that at all. All right, what's your number six?
My number six is Say Don't Go.
Say. Don't.
I love this one. Go. You know why? She sings.
That's my number six too. We have a matching one.
Matching.
We matched for one. Fuck yes.
I love how low, like, the start was the very like it's mm-hmm. so low. Like her range in this is mm-hmm. insane, and I don't. That's the thing. I think people don't consider about Taylor is how wide of a range she has, because like maybe it's not as like it doesn't have a lot of flexion and she doesn't, you know, can't do all these runs and stuff, but like she can sing so low and deep and then
take go to Cornelia
so
Street.
So high.
Yeah,
And she can do that in one song, and she does that in Say Don't Go. And that's really hard to do vocally. Like, if you think about, like I'm Not That Girl from Wicked also does that. It's a super hard song to sing because you go so low and then you take it so high. But, like, Taylor's just so good at that. And the tone of her low notes is stunning. It's hard to do as a female, is to like have that tone still be pretty so low.
Yeah, and I love the story. The visual in Say Don't Go is so strong to me and goes so well with the rest of the album. Like, it's her, you know, leaving, and she wants him to be like, don't leave, but he never says the things that she so badly yearns for. It's another like kind of unrequited, but like she's deeper in. She's in a situationship, and she like flat out, it's like, I say I love you and you say nothing back. Like, mm-hmm. And it ties right in with like this love and not this love. What's the other one on the album? Fuck me. 1989. The other slower one. You Are in Love.
Yeah,
it goes right together with You Are in Love. And she's like, she's saying so much and he's giving her nothing. And she knows in her heart that he feels the same way, but he's not admitting it. And there's nothing she can do about it except be upset internally. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking to hear like the confirmation, because she never actually says this, but she flat out says in this, like, you left in the middle of the night and then they came back together and he just won't say it. So they're just gonna fall apart again. All right, we're up to the top five vault songs, the ones that we would switch something out for on the album. So what is your number five, Natasha, and what would you switch out to get it on the album?
Now that we don't talk
I don't have to. It's been a while since I've listened to this, but I love this too.
I probably switched out for I Know Places.
Oh my god, yes, please. Take that off.
Take that off.
Why do people love that song so much?
I don't know.
Is my number five? No, it's not. Okay.
This one is, Now That We Talk, it's like, it's just, I love the staccato of it.
Yes.
Say that we don't talk. Da-da.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
pretending to kind of go along with these things that she doesn't really like, but she likes him so much.
Yes.
She's making excuses for it. And I am trying to pull it up now that we don't talk.
I like how vivid the imagery is,
yes,
too.
Yes. Now that we don't talk. Oh, man. It's not the part I wanted.
With the bridge. You gotta get to the bridge. Another low, low part of the song.
Yeah. The outside, it looks like you're trying lies
on. I miss the old ways. She goes really low here. Yeah. And then she goes really, really high.
Oh, high, too. Yeah. And that sentiment, too, that, like, mm-hmm. the more you give, the more they pull away. So relatable, mm-hmm. and so well said. Now that we don't talk. Ah, where's the part? Oh, here it is.
Yeah. I can just see her like twisting her hair.
Yeah.
Or like in a music video with like all these men in suits and are like da da da. And she's like,
yes, she should have done a music video. This should have gone into the Eras Tour. Like, mm-hmm. these songs are so good and fit so well with her current like confident aesthetic. Not aesthetic, yeah. Confident aura, confident life. All right. My number five is Castles Crumbling, and this is so relatable as anyone who's been through, I feel like,
any like social, probably anything you can relate this to, but like to me, I see like the ups and downs of YouTube and my YouTube career, and her paralleling, like, this is, she wrote this around the Kanye time, and I get so emotional just listening to her talk about how she feels like she lets everybody down and she can't do anything right, but everyone believes in her, and then like all of a sudden they don't, and she's just, she can't win. Mm-hmm. And so often when you're in the public eye in any capacity or excelling in any capacity, you end up feeling like that if you make the slightest mistake, or not even a mistake, if something gets misconstrued or like misinterpreted, all of a sudden you can become the enemy overnight for something random, and it feels like the end of the world when really like it will pass. Mm-hmm. And I just love this song so much. And I love Haley's section. And honestly, the first time I listened to it, I didn't hear Haley. I just thought it was Taylor the first time, because I was so into the lyrics. I didn't hear the change in voice. So I was like, was she even in it?
That's what I think, like she should have been utilized differently. And I think if we took Haley out of the equation, I might like it more.
I would trade out Innocent any day, or... Like, I do not like that song. I appreciate it more now because I'll listen to lyrics, but I think musically, I hate it so much.
Innocent?
Innocent, yeah.
Yeah.
It falls so flat for me. Mm-hmm. And I can, it took me so long to listen to lyrics, and that's so unlike me. I just like.
Can you play your favorite part? This is the beginning. Can we?
This is Innocent.
Oh, Innocent.
If you want me to play my favorite part, Castle's Crumbling, hold on.
Yeah. Yeah, they start out very similarly. When they saw my face, now I fear that I've fallen from grace. And I feel like all the souls to hell, so I ran them off. And here I sit. It just makes me want to cry.
It's just like the story of it all is what really gets me. And I can't remember my favorite parts right now because I haven't listened to it in months. Like, I haven't listened to so many of these songs in forever because I've just been listening to TPTP, TTPD over and over and over and over and over. But yeah.
Metal says she always thinks of Castle's Crumbling as the other side of a coin to Long Live.
I like that too. I mean, it does connect really well to that idea with like she's in this castle with her dragons and defending it, and mm-hmm. it's kind of, she's foreshadowing it crumbling in that song because she's like, remember me. Mm-hmm. Remember that this happened, even if it falls apart. Let's see.
Number four.
What's your number four?
Four is Mr. Perfectly Fine. This is okay. My favorite of Fearless. And it's so fun for me. I like the rage behind it. I think what you switched out Untouchables.
Yeah.
I would probably do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because all the other songs are so perfect and fearless.
Yeah.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one has to be on the album. I can't believe it wasn't.
Probably because it was too on the nose. Yeah. Maybe?
You know what? It was probably too close to the relationship at the time, yeah. too. Yeah, mm-hmm. And now she's got some distance, and it's okay to yell at Joe.
My favorite thing, you know, when Sophie and Joe were together was when that song came out, and then Sophie had a video of herself, like, yell screaming it at him. Yeah. And then they got a divorce, and yeah. Sad.
Sad times. All right. My number four is Message in a Bottle. I fucking love this song. It is referenced in my new book, And because I just love that feeling, that rush at the start of a relationship. And this captures it so well for me. Just that, like, are we going to see each other again? There was so much chemistry. Like, we had such a great time. And I want this to become something. And maybe it could be. Like, that idea is so addictive. And you're on such a high when you have it. And that's what that song is for me. Like, I'll blast it in my car and just be like, ah! Hold on, let me just pull up Message in a Bottle, because... like, you could be the one. Oh, it's so fun. You could be the one that I love.
It is fun. I don't think I like that. Diddle-diddle-diddle-diddle.
I don't think I like that.
I just
that's
love
why
it.
I don't like it.
It makes it, like, amps me up. And to get it on the album, I would get rid of I Almost Do, because that song took me so long to, like...
Wait, what is that song?
It's on Red. I almost do. Like, I almost call you. I skipped this for, like, the first 4 years of Red.
Wow. I don't even honestly know it that well. You know...
I just want to tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. Anything in me. Not to call you.
It's like a long distance. Like, yeah. Harry's across the ocean.
Swap them out. All right.
Yeah.
Number three. Top three.
Oh my God. Such a good one. Top three.
Is It Over Now?
Yes.
Toss up between, like, what are those, or what are my favorite? Because, like, I feel like I love them all equally.
I know. It was, these top three is so, so hard.
Yeah. But yeah. Is It Over Now? Why am I blanking on how it goes?
Is It Over Now? Hold on. We just listen to other things.
I have it.
Okay. Oh, yes!
Ah! Oh, and this is like the dancey one where you like jump.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love the dance.
No, no.
Flashing light. At least I had the DCC to keep my knife out of sight. All the rooms, hips and thighs, and my whispering thighs. Oh, Lord.
Of a very tall something.
Running.
It's so fun.
It's so good.
It's so good. And it makes me mad and sad at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it's so relatable too for like that situationship that has like no clarity. It's like it's never really over. The Katy Perry song, which I also love.
Oh, yeah. Remember when you hit the brakes too soon? Did you think I wouldn't see you? There are flashing lights.
Mm-hmm. It connects to Out of the Woods. Again, like these songs, so many of them, Say Don't Go, Now That We Don't Talk, and Is It Over Now, connect perfectly with the entire tapestry of the album. And they were clearly, like, they're so good. They were too on the nose and too close to the relationship. Like,
so she pulled them.
She pulled them because it was too telling of what was actually, it was like these key parts to the story that give you complete clarity on the album, and they're the connective tissue between the different songs where maybe you couldn't see the story before. This is like the key to unlocking it, and they're so good.
It's interesting because it's like we'll talk about stories that happened to us 5-6 years now that we have like perspective and all that, but it was probably really hard because she was so in it and it was so new,
and she still was like, is it over now?
I would switch out New Romantics.
Me too.
But I would also put this higher up on the album
because New Romantics was the bonus song. My number three is Now That We Don't Talk, which we already talked about. I fucking love it. And I agree. Let's take out I Know Places. Get that shit out of here. And then my number two is It Over Now? And I love it so much. I can listen to that song I have like over and over and over again. And the choreo, the viral choreo on TikTok was so fun. And I loved doing it. And that video that I did with my friend from home is like my most viral video.
What?
Yeah, it has like 2 million views. I've never gotten the video that viral. I'm too niche. And it was so much fun to do that dance over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should have been on the album, man. Even though I understand her reasoning, like it's mortifying to have something where like you're in a situationship and somebody's like, oh, that's clearly... you're clearly telling everyone about us, so obviously we're over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Taylor.
What is your number two?
My number two is Nothing New with Phoebe Bridgers.
Ah, okay.
This song speaks to my soul when I first listened to it. And like, I kind of understood the sentiments. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it makes me emotional all the time, even though I'd have to think about like, she was what, 22 when it came out? Or maybe she's 21 when she wrote it.
She was probably, yeah, around 21, 22.
Yeah.
But she's going on her fourth album, so it's like she's been around.
Mm-hmm. And, like, it's hard to, like, keep relevant.
Reinventing yourself.
And, like, you kind of, like, yearn to be back to that point where, like, you're at the beginning of your career. Everything's new, exciting. Yeah. You're experiencing firsts for the first time. And now you've gotten a little older, you've worked really hard, and there's these new people coming in and they're getting more attention. They're the shiny new object and you're mm-hmm. just there.
There. Yeah. Everyone's used to you. You're mm-hmm. nothing new. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we all go through stages where we're dealing with that sentiment in our head, and it's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Can I play my favorite song?
Yeah, play it.
I mean, favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the bridge. The bridge.
Yeah.
Fever dream, the kind of radiance she only heard at 17. She'll know the way and then she'll say she got no laugh from me.
Yeah, that's so real. Yeah, when people are like, you are the blueprint, it's like,
So good. Love that song. Oh my God, what am I going to switch out on red?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, probably I almost do.
Get that one off.
Yeah.
That should have been a vault song. Oh, Bellamy really wanted to be a part of this.
Bellamy.
All right. We are up to our number one vault song, and it's probably your number one vault song. I think it's maybe her best song of all time.
Yeah.
And that is clearly All Too Well.
10-minute version.
And there are so many. Should we each play like our favorite part from the new section?
Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, let's do from the new section because there's too many favorite parts. I love it just so much. Let's see.
Tossing me the car keys, fuck the patriarchy, keychain on the ground. We were always skipping town, and I was thinking of the drive down anytime now. He's gonna say it's love, he never called it what it was.
It's far.
Till he weren't dead and gone buried.
Oh my God.
Come back swearing.
What a verse.
Yes. When your Brooklyn broke my skin and bones, I'm a soldier who's returning half her weight. And did the twin
yes.
paint you blue? Just between us, did the love affair make you too? Cause in this city, barren cold, I still remember the first fall.
Oh, it's so good. It's so beautiful. Like, my original favorite part was, I'm a crumpled up piece of paper lying here, and I remember it. Wait, but what's the lead up to that? That whole section, I've just lost all of the words, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Plaid shirt days, and now minding your own. They mail back my things, and I walk home alone. But you keep your old scar from that very first date. It reminds me of innocence. Where is the part?
This one?
Yes.
In the name of being honest, I'm a crumpled up piece of paper lying.
But there's that part about, like, this all ends well, but I'm in the new hell. All of it. It's all, you know what? The whole thing is so good. And
yeah.
It's so hard.
Anticipating each part because I'm yes. like, oh, I'm gonna get even angrier for this part now.
Oh, Siobhan, and you called me up again just to break me like a promise. So casually cruel in the whole section. Yeah, in the name of being honest. Oh, it's so beautiful. Frank says, I loved when she performed it on SNL. Yeah. You keep me like a secret, but I kept you like an oath, Siobhan says. Yeah. Oh. So good.
All of it.
It's perfect. It's perfection.
Obviously, like, we would take out the shortened version
and just switch it on in. Yeah. Oh my God. It's beautiful. And I'm so glad she finally gave it to us. And that's our list. That's our ranking.
That's our list. I wonder. I mean, a lot of people have opinions, so if you have an opinion.
Share your opinions. We'd love to hear what your number one is, and your number 26, especially. Yes. And Natasha, you've got a Mary Kiss clip for us. Let's do it.
All right. I chose Valentine's Day colors. We'll see how hard or simple this is. It's probably going to be too simple.
Hit us.
Red, purple, pink. What are you going to kiss? What are you going to cliff? And what are you going to marry?
Okay, I'm going to marry, I guess, pink and kiss red and cliff purple.
Was pink... Did you always like pink?
I feel no,
like
this I didn't.
Is a new favorite it's really color.
And it's not my favorite color, but out of these colors, like if I had to wear it every day, I feel like I'd wear pink. Because I don't want to wear red every day. It's too
red
there. Yeah. And purple, I don't love with my skin tone. So pink it is.
Well, I'm going to marry purple. All right. That's my favorite.
Nice.
And it looks best on me. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna kiss pink and cliff red, even though I do love myself in red.
Mm-hmm. I love red. It's just a lot for an everyday look.
Yeah. A red lipstick is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A red shirt is a lot. I do love wearing my red sweatpants, but
yeah, I like my Spider-Man red shirt. But Metal says, but without red, we wouldn't have a Taylor Swift album. Exactly. That's why I'm kissing red. And that's what I bet Taylor would kiss red too, because red is like burns hot and fast, but it's not your forever. Gold is. All right, everybody, that is our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We are going to go record Fangirl Tea Time, which again is available at our Patreon. So go to patreon.com/thoseforkingfangirls or look in the show notes and there's a link there and you can become a part of that community and join us for that. Our show is edited by Emma and Vigard and Natasha Poulos and Christine Riccio and Alex Poulos. And our socials are run by Chloe Laverson. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Those Forking Fangirls. We're also on TikTok at Those Forking Fangirls. And those are our main places.
Yeah. We should get on Threads. That would probably be a good thing to get on.
I mean, then we'd have to like write out Threads.
just repost the Instagrams there.
And we, our podcast music is by Cole Jenkins with vocals by Heather Traska. And we post episodes every single Friday. So make sure you're following the show so you never miss an episode. My name's Christine.
I'm Natasha.
And we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
That was dramatic.